scripture for our meditation on this Easter Sunday is recorded for us in our gospel. The gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16, beginning with the first verse. Dear friends, in our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, what scares you the most? Above all else, what are you afraid of? Perhaps you're afraid of snakes or spiders. Maybe public speaking. Maybe you are afraid of heights. Which reminds me of an old man. Not an old man. A man in his 40s. Even though he was in his 40s, he was afraid of heights. And one time he found himself at a water park with his children. His children wanted to go on the high water slide. So he took them up there, forgetting about his fears for a second and being brave for his children. He sent his children down the slide. And then when it time came for him to go, he chickened out. Got too scared and had to shamefully walk back down the steps with everyone making fun of him until he was back on solid ground. You know, there are some times with our fears and phobias that we just can't seem to overcome them. No matter how ridiculous it might seem, we're still afraid of something. So we all have fears. Everyone has their own phobias. We're all afraid of one thing or another. But today, we see that Jesus' resurrection removes all fear. He removes the fear of sin's condemnation. He removes the fear from the grave. It was just a few days ago, on Good Friday, when Jesus died. And when he died, his followers were in shock. Now, they didn't expect that to happen. They believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the one God promised to save the world from their sins. He was supposed to save them. He wasn't supposed to die. They had followed this man for 3 years, learning from him, hearing him preach and teach. For 3 years. And now, what are they going to tell their friends and family? What were their friends and family think of them, that they wasted 3 years of his life to follow some religious kook? They didn't know what their future held. Their future was with Jesus, but now Jesus is in the grave. Things looked bleak for the followers of Jesus. And they were afraid of what might happen next. What might happen to them? I mean, one of their very own, Judas, a disciple, a fellow follower of Jesus, betrayed him. And then his own countrymen, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, sentenced him to be death and handed him over to the Romans to be crucified. If his own followers, if his own countrymen did this to Jesus, what would the disciples, what would the followers of Jesus be able to do? Perhaps they were next. Perhaps the chief priests and teachers of the law would come after the disciples. So they were afraid. They hid. They locked themselves behind closed door and hid from the chief priests and teachers of the law. You know, there are times in our lives when we're not afraid. When we're not afraid of something, even though we probably should be. A lot of people are afraid of flying. But far more people die in car accidents each year than a plane crash. And when you look at heart disease and stroke, far more people die of those two things than anyone who dies in a car accident each year. You know, there are things that we should be afraid of that we're not. Think of our sins. Think of the consequence, the price that we ought to pay for our sins. God demands perfection. God demands that we obey all of His commands at all times. That we always love Him with our whole heart. That we always put Him first in our lives, that we always show love to everyone more than we love ourselves. And if we fail just once, then we deserve eternal condemnation. We deserve to pay eternally for our sins. And we sin not just once, but countless times a day. We deserve nothing but God's wrath and punishment. And yet what do? We like to downplay our sins. We like to pass them off as if they're no big deal. We say, well, you know what? Everyone else is doing it, so it can't be that big of an issue. We like to make excuses that we didn't know it was wrong, or I didn't mean to do it, or we tell ourselves, I can stop that sin whenever I want. I can just say no. We act as if our sins are no big deal, but to the Lord, they are a big deal. He demands payment. And there's not a payment that we can make. There's nothing we can do to make up for our sins. There's nothing we can do to somehow pay God back. It may not seem like a big deal to us, but it was a big enough deal for the Lord to willingly go to the cross and give up His life to save us from our sins. Jesus died for those sins. But still, 3 days after His death, on that Sunday morning, disciples were still afraid. But before the sun had completely come up, a group of women came walking to the tomb, looking to finish preparing Jesus' body for His burial. And as they approached, they noticed that a large stone that had been in front of the tomb was rolled away. They rushed into the tomb to see what was going on. And there they saw a young man dressed in bright white clothes. As Mark says, now Mark downplays the situation. Matthew tells us that it wasn't just a man, this was an angel. Matthew said his clothes, his appearance was like lightning, and its clothes were white as snow. The women realized this wasn't a normal man. This was an angel of the Lord. They were alarmed. You can almost even say afraid. But the angel spoke quickly to deaden those fears. He said, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him. Although the women could not completely fathom what was going on, they realized Jesus was not in the tomb. Jesus had not stayed dead. He had risen from the dead. And if Jesus had risen from the dead, that means that He truly is the Son of God. He is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He proved His power over death by rising 3 days after He died. And His resurrection is proof that He has paid for our sins. It's proof that God has accepted that payment. That His blood that He shed on the cross was good for us. That His perfect life was given to us. That's the point that Paul makes in Romans chapter 4. God raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. God raised Jesus from the dead so that God could declare us not guilty. That's what justification means. It is God, our righteous judge, declaring us not guilty on account of Jesus. Not guilty because we haven't committed anything wrong. No, not guilty because Christ became guilty of our sins and gave us His perfect life. Not guilty because God accepted His payment and raised His Son from the dead for our eternal life. See, as great and as important as Good Friday is, in and by itself, Good Friday, when Jesus died, doesn't remove our fear. Easter removes fear. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ had not been raised, Your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. But Christ has been raised from the dead. Proof that our payment has been accepted, a guarantee that our sins have been washed away, and the condemnation that our sins deserve will not be seen or heard by us because of Christ. Out of all the fears, out of all the worries that we have in this life, perhaps the greatest fear that most people have, not sin, but death. That's because everyone dies. No matter what we do, there's nothing we can do to avoid death. And death is a great unknown. There's no video or pictures about the afterlife. There's no eyewitness accounts of what happens when we die. Many people are afraid of death and die. We know the here and now. We know what it's like on this life. We know what this, but beyond the grave, we don't know. And we're afraid of what we don't know. So many people then are afraid of death. And that's a fear that many people just can't get over. In our second lesson, Paul says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Although you can't see it because of the snow we had this morning, right now the first flowers of the spring are starting to pop through the ground. And when you see those tulips, when you see those daisies, you know that more flowers are sure to come. Same stands for a harvest. When that first fruit of the plant or the first fruit of a tree shows up, you know that more are sure to come. It's a guarantee that there's more fruit on its way. If there's first, then there's also a second and a third and many more. Christ is called the first fruits from the dead. Now, he is not the first one who had died and had been raised to life. But he is the first one who was raised to life and stayed alive. The life of Christ is a guarantee that we too will rise from the dead. Just as he rose in a perfect and glorious body, we too will rise from the dead and stay alive with a perfect and glorious body. On the last day, Christ will come again and raise us up together with him to join us in heaven. And we will share in his glory, as Paul says in Philippians 3. Christ will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So we know where we will be in the end. The perfect and glorified bodies, we will live with our Savior in heaven. With him, and we will see him as he is. Death is not the end, but the beginning of a perfect and glorious life with our Savior forever. And so there's no reason to be afraid of anything. No reason to be afraid of anything on this earth. No reason to be afraid of mankind. They can do us no real harm. No matter what they say to us or do us, even if they kill us, in the end, we're going to be in heaven with our Savior. We can say along with the psalmist of Psalm 118, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" There's no reason to fear death. It may be the great unknown. It may be painful to die. It may be unnatural. God never intended soul and body to be separated. And yet there's nothing to fear when it comes to death. For we know that separation of soul and body is only temporary. Christ's resurrection means that our bodies will be raised and join our souls in heaven. Christ's resurrection makes death, which is so horrible, into something that brings eternal life. And in the meantime, while our bodies rest peacefully, looking forward to the last day, our souls are busy enjoying the glories of heaven. Death, then, brings something far better than this life. Death brings life with Christ, which is far better, as Paul says. There in our sunrise service this morning, we sang the hymn from the supplement In Christ Alone, hymn 752. And in the opening lines of that, of the last stanza of that hymn, it gives a good summary of the life of a Christian in view of death and sin. There we sing, no guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. All of us have our own fears. You may be afraid of many things. And for many, death and the consequences of sin may be on top of that list. But Christ has proved by His resurrection has paid for all our sins. And there's no fear in death or dying. The sting of death has been removed. Eternal life with our Savior awaits. No fear in death because of the sure hope of the resurrection of the dead through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of forgiveness and the sure hope of an eternal and glorious life with our Savior forever guard and keep you now and forever. Amen.